Hey everybody, so we are officially back from, from Worldcon. That's obvious for anyone who's listening to this now, because Worldcon was several weeks ago, but this is the first episode we've released since it happened. This was recorded in one of the panel rooms at LunCon in the enormous Excel Center in London, so the acoustics are at times a little bit not great, although overall the audio is a lot better than some of the other panel discussions I've recorded at other places. But just keep that in mind. I've done my best to clean it up, and it's mostly pretty readable, or listenable. The other thing I did want to note, too, is the show notes are pretty extensive for this particular episode, in part because it's the Nordic SF panel. And I know for me it was very difficult with some of the names, because these are languages that I obviously just don't speak them. I'm very, very unfamiliar with them, so I did my best to capture as much as I could and to speak with the panelists via email to get corrections for things that I just completely butchered. I probably still missed a few things, so if you do catch something that maybe it's just not in the show notes or something, do let me know so that I can hunt it down and put it in the show notes, because one of the things that is really important to me about this is actually raising awareness, because what I learned at this panel, and you'll hear, is a lot of really interesting work is not translated into English, and that's a big problem, because it means that work's not being read outside of a very select range of places. I mean, some of this work is translated into other languages like German, but English speakers are not necessarily reading, because let's be honest, most of us don't speak Swedish or Finnish or what have you. Maybe we should like get a computer chip in our brain to learn everything. So one of the things that is really important for the World SF Tour is actually raising awareness about all this literature that's elsewhere, that's just out there in the world, in what I hope is not a naive hope, at least, of having this work translated, or at least raising awareness and making it more appealing to publishers. So do share this episode if you could, let people know about it, and, you know, do point out any folks that maybe got left out, that maybe didn't get mentioned. You know, just leave a little thing in the comments or something and just let me know. On that note, I'm just going to shut up, let you guys get to the episode. I really hope you enjoy it. There's more stuff to come, lots of other stuff. Recorded a bunch of really cool panels, and it's just, I think it's going to be really great stuff. And of course, we're now back on the recording schedule, so there's going to be more stuff to come. So enjoy.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it's monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, everybody, thank you for coming and welcome to the Nordic Science Fiction and Fantasy panel. I'm very glad that so many could turn out, because now is the opening ceremonies, and there's also a panel on Moomin. So perhaps some of you would have liked to attend both. I'm sorry, I did not participate in making the program. Okay, I since some of you may be new to the convention, I'll just talk a little bit about how we do things here, or it is sort of a proposal to the participants. First everybody should introduce themselves so that you know in what context they speak. And then we'll have a presentation from each of us. And we represent, I think, three countries. There are five Nordic countries, so we will try to pick up the other two. It is also a problem if if we talk too long, then I think you will fall asleep. So the last part, and I hope the biggest part, will be questions from the audience that we will try to answer as much as we can. I've been in a panel like this, I think in Montreal. Many of the questions were on Nordic literature in general, and I'm very, I think that should be included, because some of you would not know the area. Any publishers here? One of the problems we have, especially in Norway, is that very few books are translated. So I hope you can help us to get them, or at least some of them, translated. So I think we will go over to the introduction. Please.
Okay, I'll start. Hi, my name is Marianna Leikoma. I'm from Finland. I'd like to say a critic, but I mostly write for just fanzines. I also do some translations. I am, however, have been in the jury for the best Finnish fantasy novel, the Mirror Mirror Kuvastaja Award, awarded by the Finnish Tolkien Society for a number of years now. So I've read quite a lot of Finnish fantasy, but also science fiction. And I have to say that I've never been in a panel quite like this. This is my very first WorldCon panel ever.
Me next then. My name is Anna Lovar. Some people know me under the nickname Orca. I love reading science fiction and fantasy. I don't know if I'm an expert, but I know some things about what's going on in Sweden. Yes.
I'm the second Swede. My name is Jan Henry Holberg. I've been around fandom since I was very small, half a century ago. Since then, I've also been an editor, a publisher, a translator. I've been a newspaper critic, and I've written 5 or 6 books on science fiction and fantasy, particularly from a historical point of view, and overviews for Swedish audiences. I've also written stuff about Swedish and a lot of books about Danish and Norwegian science fiction in the Science Fiction Encyclopedia online.
And if you're fans of Scandicrime, he's the guy to ask.
I am also a member of the Swedish Academy of Crime Fiction. Yes, we award the annual crime awards in Sweden, the Howard Hedgers. I also was a personal friend of Stieg Larsson's for many years, because he was also a science fiction kid when he was 17 and published fanzines. So we hang out for about 10 years.
My name is Sidney Hillman, and I am the other film. I'm an assistant writer by trade and a regular, and I'm also a moderator and administrator on the largest Finnish science fiction and fantasy site, which is called the Writing Channel, and we have a very good book database over there that I have been maintaining for like over 10 years now.
Thank you all. That's a lot of very distinguished people. I'm afraid I'm not so distinguished, but I have published 5 books, and those are 5 textbooks. And I'm doing now a textbook on the Norwegian health system, and I believe that's somewhere between fantasy and science fiction. I've also done some ethics, which is in the same category, partly fantasy and partly science fiction. I would like the audience to present at least some, shall we say, very outstanding and motivating examples of Nordic science fiction. Somebody had an email on Danish science fiction. Was that? No? Okay, we will just mention H.C. Andersen then, and Søren Kierkegaard. I will try to just mention Icelandic science fiction, because I don't think anybody else will take that. Shall we go in? We are five here. So if we use, shall we say, 10 minutes each, that will be 50 minutes, and I think you will be asleep after that. So if we can try to limit it to about 5 minutes, and then we will come back to you and you can ask questions. So perhaps in the other order. Yes?
Okay. So about Finnish science fiction and fantasy. The Finnish science fiction and fantasy at the moment, I think, is becoming bigger than it used to be. The basics of the Finnish literature has been very realistic. And the fantasy and science fiction have been like a genre literature, very small niche. But the authors have always been working together. They're friends, they do criticize each other's work, they are close-knit community, and they are helping new authors to come forward. The ones who have been published are good examples for the younger ones. So some of the authors have been translated, or some of them have written their books in English straight away. You might know Hanno Rajaniemi and Emi Itäranta, who both have written their books in English. So that the Rajaniemi book was actually translated into Finnish. And some other authors who have been translated are Johannes Nilsson, who is a very big name in Finland and also known in several countries. There has been translations into English, German, Czech, whatever. I wish I would have bought all the books. We have some in the Helsinki 17 book. We have examples of the different translations. You can go and see them over there. Published last year was Pasi Ilmarinaskalainen's Running Back Society, which came out in Finland several years ago, but it wasn't translated until now, so it's available in English. Also, I've been learning kind of like the Helena writes kind of like magical realism. And she has been translating into English. We just found out that one of our greatest actual hard science fiction author, Isomaki, has had a book translated into English. So that's worth mentioning. And for the young adult category, there is Salwa Simukka. Some of her books have been translated into English. The newest trilogy that is based on fairy tales hasn't yet been out in English, but it's available at least in German and other European languages. Also for the young adults, I think that Annukka Salama and Elina Rovionen, who write kind of like this urban fantasy with the paranormal romance, there has been thought that their books would be out in German. And since we're in Finland, we have these two official languages, Finnish and Swedish. Some of our authors write in Swedish, and I think that's Anna and you may tell us if they are known in Sweden as well. But at least we all know Tove Jansson. I don't think we have to talk about her anymore. There's also Irmeli Sandman-Lius, and a new one is Maria Turchanino, and whom I absolutely adore. Her books are Great. Also, some other authors who haven't been translated, I would hope that some of the journalists for Ibeka Magela, Anne Leonen, and also we have Monica Lenhai, who is a very new author, young author, but her trilogy would have some kind of steampunk werewolf is located in an alternative Greenland, and it's a very good adventure story. And I like it a lot. I think now we have name dropped several names that you might want to see in writing, because the thing is, if you want to know those, come to ask me, and I'll let you know the spelling.
Okay, I think perhaps summing up that, as far as I understand, there are some of the books are available in the Finnish BID office.
Yes, we have copies of Johannes Nissala and Vasil Marjaskalainen's books. Yes. We have Amy Itaranta translated on several languages. At least Amy's book
The message is that if you are interested, go there. And you can see more. You can see exactly what is presented. Perhaps we could go over to Sweden now.
I was actually wondering if I could add here, if you want to find out more about very current Finnish literature, I would recommend the Finnish Weird magazine, which we also sell at the Helsinki Bid Table, but which you can also download for free as an EPUB from the address finnishweird.net. This includes some of the authors Sini already mentioned, as well as Tiina Raivaara and Jenny Kongasvuo, who are also very interesting people and do recommend them. So finnishweird.net, that's your first go-to place after you've gone to the Helsinki Bid Table, of course.
Yeah, perhaps you can continue with your presentation then.
Yes, actually, even though I mentioned I do read fantasy and all that, one of my personal passions is also graphic novels and comics. And we've got a couple of them which have come out from Finland, which also fall under the science fiction and fantasy category. One of these was the Sands of Sarasvati by Risto Isomäki, which was already mentioned that it has now come out as a novel, but it was published as a graphic novel already in 2008, also both in Finnish and in English. It is pretty much your part science fiction. It is very nicely drawn, and funnily enough, it was actually published as a graphic, story, a comic really, in one of the major newspapers in Finland when it first came out, sort of, a couple of pages every week, sort of continuing story, which gave it a lot of really nice access in the sort of mainstream readership. The book also won the Comic Book Finlandia Award for the best comic book of the year when it first came out. But there are a couple of newer ones which have either just come out or are just coming out, and which are more in the fantastic side. First of these is something called J-Bird, that's Ikkunarhi for all you Finnish speakers, by Lauri and Jaakko Ahonen. It's a fantasy story. It is very much a graphic novel for adults. It is very bleak about the kind of world where if you're not allowed or if you don't dare to do anything, where will that take you? It is by Lauri and Jaakko Ahonen, and it was actually originally translated for the American market as a Kickstarter project. And it came out this spring as a Kickstarter, but from what I've heard, it has also been picked up by, I think, Dark Horse, and it should be coming out with a slightly larger publication very soon. As I said, it's called J-Bird, and again, it also won the Comic Book Finlandia the year it came out. Very interesting, but not an easy read by any means. Beautiful, but very bleak. But hey, that's Finland for you. But then the third one I have to really promote here is a is something called Sing No Evil by J.P. Ahonen and Kope Alanen, and is just coming out in English right now. This is very much an urban fantasy story about a struggling rock band trying to make it big in their hometown, which is one of the Finland's towns. Incidentally, the town where I live in. And it has a very strong fantastical element in it, because not only is there music, but music is also a source of magic. And the problems the band gets into when they find out that their rival band is really using the magic to their advantage, and none of us actually want that. It is absolutely a beautiful book. It's beautifully drawn, and it's filled with these really small, strange things. For example, the band has a bear as a drummer. And it's just there. It's never actually explained. It's an actual bear. He hibernates, which causes some problems for the band. Their rival band, one of their rival bands, which is this black metal band, their drummer is, of course, a badger. You can imagine, you know, badger with the sort of death metal makeup kind of thing going on. It's a hilarious graphic novel. It's also very beautiful, and it captures the essence of, well, the town where it, or the city where it's set on very nicely. So again, I can also spell these out later, but this was Sing No Evil by J.P. Ahonen and Kope Ahonen, and I'm not entirely sure if it's out in English yet. It is out in French, but it should be coming out in English, you know, any second now. So yes, these were the ones I wanted to plug, and I'm sure I've taken my 10 minutes by now. Sorry.
Perhaps you, Anna, can take next. Remember, it's less than 10 minutes. It's more like 5 minutes. And you will be able to show your great wisdom later when we have questions. So please try and make short presentations.
Right. Okay. My suggestion is I'm saying two words and then I leave it to you, and then we come back to me, because I think that will give it the. I want to talk about what's going on now, and you perhaps will give some sort of a background, I
sure.
imagine. Okay. But before we start, I just wanted to add that there is actually an Icelandic author living in Sweden. So if we want Icelandic to cover Iceland as well, the only thing I know about that is Emil Jörgen Pettersen, who lives in Sweden, and he writes post-apocalyptic fantasy based on the Norse gods, something in Icelandic. And I don't know Icelandic, so I haven't read it, but it looks very good. So,
okay, yeah.
Over to
you. As I admitted, I've done the history of these things. I'll give you about 2 minutes on
Denmark.
Can
you be a little
I'll try
closer.
To give you a couple of minutes on Denmark and a few minutes on Sweden. Maybe more than five together, but what I know about Denmark. As far as modern science fiction goes, during the 50s, there were a couple of tries to publishing American science fiction in paperback translation, which were not terribly successful. However, there was also one quite popular native writer called Niels Nielsen, who was the father of modern Danish science fiction. So he wrote about 30 novels, 1 year from the early 50s, and was very much inspired by Ray Bradbury. Poetic prose, novels, warning of the dangers of technology, and particularly, of course, atomic war. He did several post-atomic war novels from different viewpoints. There was also a short story writer called Edmund Hansen, who strangely published more in Sweden probably than in Denmark, but who was fairly similar, probably inspired by Niels. In the 60s, there were a couple of mainstream writers trying their hand at science fiction. One was, I believe, Helle Jørgensen, who wrote a very highly lauded novel called The Man Who Knew. There was also a very young fan, Yannick Storm, who was a critic in a major newspaper and who wanted to introduce modern science fiction to Denmark. He managed to talk a couple of publishers into letting him edit lines of books, and so within a few years he introduced people like Brian Aldriss, J.D. Ballard, Philip Dick, Isaac Asimov and several others in Denmark. If anybody has read Brian Aldiss's History of Science Fiction called Million and Later Billion Years Pre, this book was dedicated to Jannik Storm, the man who colonized Denmark. This was the Jannik Storm. On his own, however, he only wrote one short story collection and one science fiction novel, which was made, strangely, into a movie in the 70s, but wasn't published in book form until the 90s. His efforts, however, were quite successful. They opened a science fiction bookstore in Copenhagen, and a number of Danes started writing, having read some of the books which Jannik published. You had writers like Erwin Noisky Wolf, who was probably the most culturally accepted of them, Merit de Kruse, Bernard Ribbeck. There was a poet whose name escapes me, who did interface novels, crime science fiction stories, slightly cyberpunkish at an early time, but not terribly science fictionish. Later on, however, as I've understood the creation from Danish friends, science fiction has, we'll see this also happening in Sweden, become less popular. There are a few direct series of SF published, except those published by fan publishers. Instead, fantasy grew to be the huge thing in translation and in original writing from the 90s. That was Denmark. Sweden. Sweden is funny in the sense that there are two kinds of Swedish science fiction. There is one which, if we are kind, we will call it inspired by. If we are unkind, we call it derivative of American and British science fiction. This, from the beginning, was written by writers who had the first Swedish science fiction novel proper was published in the 1880s and was pure plagiarism. Swedish journalist and newspaperman, Claes Lundin, largely translated a German science fiction novel, but adding some things of his own. A bit later, there was a Russian refugee, Vladimir Semichev, who had, of course, grown up on the early Russian science fiction writers, then fled from the Soviets, and wrote a couple of fairly good science fiction novels in Swedish in the 30s. His son later tried his hand also, but was actually a worse writer, but a better artist. This tradition went on with people who had read the American pulp magazines. Sture Lennerstrand wrote almost 100 science fiction short stories for Swedish weekly magazines in the 40s and had a hand in founding the first Swedish science fiction magazine in the 50s. Other writers had also read American stuff and published in the 50s. Henrik Nannen was the most prolific. His work is juvenile and pretty bad. After these, and since the first Swedish magazine was published from 1954, you got a Swedish fandom. And out of Swedish fandom, which of course read both the Swedish magazines and lots of American and English science fiction in their magazines, you got writers like Sam Lundvall, Dennis Lindbom, Sven-Christer Svahn, Bertil Mortensen, and others who started out writing for fanzines and went on to write professionally, writing basically in the same vein as American and British modern science fiction. We still have fans turning writers, and they are writing what could perhaps be called fairly pure science fiction. Currently, there's a guy called Mats Claesson, for instance, doing quite good, very Heinlein-ish juveniles in Sweden. But then, aside from this, you have the native Swedish science fiction, which was, I think, first written more extensively about by a German academic, Ulrike Nolte, who was also a science fiction novelist. She calls this strain Swedish soziale fiction, Swedish social fiction, because it is basically non-technological. It is about the dystopian, totalitarian future we will live in once the Swedish welfare state controls everything. And this is actually a form which has now been around since the 1930s, the late 30s. one or more books in it has been written by not every, but most major Swedish authors. However, in Sweden, it's never discussed as a genre, because this would mean that this criticism of the governmental and political system was shared by a number of leading intellectuals, which is not something you are expected to think. So each book published is usually viewed as an isolated phenomenon written by an otherwise great author who, however, was in an off mood that year. They have been written by people like Wilhelm Moberg, Arvid Brunberg, Göran Hägg, Anders Harning, Carl Lars Gustafsson, Sven Delblanc, T.C. Jersing, Carl-Johan Wahlgren, and many, many others, comprising, I think, a majority of the moderately or utopianly socialist Swedish writers, as well as the liberal ones and conservative ones, the ones who carry party books with Social Democrat Party, probably Democrat. However, also the radically leftist writers like Per Wahlöö have written such books. So it's not a criticism from the right particularly, it's a criticism of a state bureaucracy running amok. Okay.
Okay, so over to me then, okay. Yeah, that's the background. So I intended to say something about how I perceive the field right now. And just to explain the situation, I want to contrast it with the 2 years I was living in Canada. Because that's when I really understood. I have been abroad before, but those 2 years were when I understood how much science fiction, and also fantasy, but especially science fiction, is marginalized in Sweden. It's really a subcultural thing. It's nothing that anyone knows anything about. When you come to Canada, I found book sales, normal book sales downtown with lots of science fiction for $1 or $2, and I just had to buy them because I found science fiction, right? And I'm not used to that, so it was very difficult for me to handle that abundance that science fiction actually existed everywhere and you could find it anywhere. As Johanna told you, fantasy is a bit more well known, especially nowadays, especially after the Lord of the Rings movies. But also there was a publishing wave in the 90s, which you were part of also, publishing
fantasy. Can I say one thing which is funny?
Yeah.
A detail. 1993 was the first year in Sweden since the 50s when we actually had a bestseller list which was based on actual number of copies sold of books, not on what major critics thought people ought to read. And the year after was when fantasy exploded in Sweden, because when that list was published, other publishers found out that there had been two who had cheated and published fantasy, and out of the 10 books selling most copies during December of that year, 4 had been fantasy novels from these two publishers. So, a year later, everybody was doing fantasy.
Yes, so fantasy is much more visible, and a lot of things have been happening since then, and I think some of the interesting things, trends going on right now is in small publishers and in self-publishing, because I think that's lots of people who have been reading perhaps mainly in English. They want to write science fiction and fantasy, and they try to find ways to publish it, and they publish it themselves, and lots of it is not very good at all, but they are getting together and talking about it, and there is a growing culture of discussing fantastic literature, which I find very interesting. There is even a new trade show thing, convention-ish, that is called Andravada, which ran for the second year this year, so second time. And so I find that very, very interesting. And then there is also the ebook publisher Mix. And we have a Mix author here, right? Johan Frick. They publish, among other things, science fiction short stories, which you can buy just in ebook format. So we have actually someone taking science fiction short stories seriously now. And I find that there are like podcasts discussing them and so on. So I think it's going to catch on. I hope it's going to be a big thing. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a success, but I hope so. So that I find really, really interesting. We have, well, on that side, I also want to mention the fantasy society, Kataya, which was big, very big for a while, but now almost died. But someone with this organization was absorbed into science fiction fandom. So we have been getting some life from there. And they also still do short story collections, which they publish. But horror is also very big in Sweden. And this is almost, horror is almost mainstream. And you might know of Let the Right One In, which was a movie also. So Lone Ivy Lindqvist is the author, and he is extremely popular and sells a lot. And the other big name to mention there right now, I guess, is Anders Fager. And Anders Fager was the teacher of a writer's workshop, which spawned a writer's collective, which is also one of the most interesting things going on right now in fantastic literature in Sweden. They are called Fruktan, that means fear, and they write together. It's a big group of people. I think they must be 10. I don't know how many they are. But one of those authors published a novel last year, Joel Berman, which was sort of science fiction, an apocalyptic novel where the children change, and then the world has to change. So it's science fiction horror, sort of. And then just now, this week, I think, they published a short story collection, Stockholms Undergång, where they all write... Each of them have written a short story where they destroy Stockholm in various ways. So I think this is interesting things going on right now. And then the last phenomenon I have to mention is Cirkel, which is a trilogy about teenage witches, written by Sara Bergmark-Eplén and Rost Landai. And this is also getting made into a movie right now. It's translated to lots of languages, including English, so you can find these stories. And I think they are absolutely worth reading. Yes, and I have to mention Karin Tidbeck, of course, because otherwise this wouldn't be complete. Karin Tidbeck is the great star, I think, right now. Internationally, of Swedish names, writing very weirdish things. Yes. And really, really good.
Thank you.
That was.
Many of the things you say is also true for Norwegian, at least fantasy. But I don't think we have so much horror. We have the Troll Hunter, which may be seen as horror. I'm trying to be short now. Therefore, I have prepared this list for you, and you can come up here, and I have 20 copies. You can take your own copy, and you don't have to listen to all my strange names. And you can also look it up on internet because the title is there. And I will not go through the list because that would bore you. Instead, I will try to, shall we say, take out some highlights. And when I was appointed to this panel, I was very reluctant to go, but I got some very good help from our librarian, from our shop Outland, and from Rolf, who is sitting over there, trying to compile a good list of recent Norwegian fantasy and science fiction, and it became mostly fantasy. So I started reading, and this summer I've read this list here almost completely, and it's all literature since 2006. And just when, before I left, Rolf sent me another list. I don't think you can see it here. It's about 15 items, very many of them, published in 2014, meaning I could not keep up. But this is sort of the trend. I mean, it's so exploding, I think. And I'm sort of helped by Financial Times. They say that teenage books especially sell a lot now. So I will not go through all the books, but I've tried to select, shall I say, three or four that may be interesting for you, and perhaps you can help push their translation. The first one I've just finished, and there is another, it's a sequel to it. It's called A Song of for Airabu, and we have, I mean, they're talking about two languages in the other countries. We have three in Norway. We have ordinary Norwegian, we have Sami, and we have New Norwegian. And this is written in New Norwegian, so I hope you can translate it into English. It's easier for me. It is a magnificent work. It is set in, shall we say, old Nordic kind of times without a specific place. And it is a saga about good and evil and misunderstanding, and written by a psychologist. And she has a absolutely beautiful language, even if I'm not native New Norwegian speaker. So this is recommended to you. I have another, which is called Lars Mæhle, The Land Under the Glacier. And it took me a while before I understood what the glacier is to somebody living close to it. It is big. So he imagines a land under the glacier. Perhaps that land goes back to before the Ice Age. I mean, it does in Britain. Some people lived here in caves during the Ice Age. We could think the same in a glacier. And again, the book is very well written, and I'm not certain it is translated. There's another one, another book that is translated, and that's Tone Almgjell. She wrote the Primrose Key. It is for younger than young adults. Of course, I go for the young adults. I mean, I'm in the younger part of young adults when I read. But she is for children, I mean, specifically 11 years old is what she's looking at. And she wrote that book directly in English. And I hear that there's some other people here have the same experience. And it is a beautiful fantasy about young children and their pets and all the dangers that they are subjected to. So it's, shall we say, a Narnia-type adventure. And it has already been on bestseller list. So I think I will conclude there. As you can see, I have a lot more. So I will open up for questions. Yes?
Please
speak up, sir.
How would you say that Nordic fantasy and science fiction differs from sort of American and English science fiction and kind of stories it tells?
I have to repeat the question first.
Yes, how does Nordic fantasy and science fiction differ from the U.S. and I think you said U.K. kind. I think I will start that and then you can follow on. In Norway, it is very much based on mythology and fairy tales. And we don't have any vampires because we don't have that in the fairy tales. There are two books on the Huldr. That is a beautiful female with a tail. And the Huldr is already mentioned. She has an active role under Henrik Ibsen in Peer Gynt. And Peer Gynt is falling in love or something similar with the green-clad Huldr, and he almost becomes of the Huldr folk, or a troll himself. So that's a very strong connection, at least in Norway. Over to you.
I have to say, here I want to mention my favorite work of Swedish fantasy, which is Berättelsen om blodet. It's written by Anders Björklid. And the very special thing about this is four books. The first one is translated into German. So I hope for more translations of these books. And the thing I really love about it is, okay, apart from the language, which is beautifully treated in some kind of alternate world, which is very similar to Sweden at some undefined point back in history, but it's a very different geography. But the landscape takes a really strong role, and you can really feel it and smell it. The way the Nordic landscape is described in these books. So I think nature is very important. And I think someone said that about Finnish science fiction also. Tell me if I remember right now, that the forest is not an enemy, it's a friend.
Yes, I think we've had this discussion. I was going to say the exact same thing about Finnish science fiction and fantasy, that very often there is a strong connection to nature, and this doesn't mean that they're necessarily ecological science fiction or fantasy, but, you know, the forest is just there, because for Finns, it's always been there, because that's where you go. When the enemy comes, you go to the forest. But that's where you get your food. But it's also, forests can be dangerous, and they can have lots of really weird stuff there. I think with Finnish science fiction and fantasy, I already mentioned the term Finnish weird, and I think that describes a lot of it very well, because very often there is it's kind of magical realism kind of thing. There is just something which is off, something that's subtly wrong. For example, Johannes Sinisalo's Not Before Sundown, which basically your normal Finnish town, except that there are trolls there. And, you know, that's the thing that's off. And then through that, she tells the story of, say, Finnish culture and society. And something similar, which was mentioned already, the Rabbit's Back Literature Society by Pasil Maria Eskelainen. Again, it's not, you know, high fantasy. There aren't necessarily any elves or other races, but there's just something weird, something that's not right, and that's what makes it really fantastical. Cindy, would you agree, disagree?
Yes, I agree with you completely. There has been a very little high fantasy written in Finnish. I can only come up with like two or three terms where they actually create this, their own magical world. That's what I think is my high fantasy. But in the forest and the nature, and then this a little switch that there's something off in the world is kind of like a thing in Finnish science fiction fantasy.
And I would like to add one more thing to this, and that is, if any of you, if you have read the Vandermeer, the Jeff Vandermeer writers, whatever you call it, it's on the Hugo list, so you know, you should know what I mean. In that book, Karin Tidvik talks about live action role playing as input for imagination and creativity. And I think that Nordic LARP is one big key to understand at least part of Scandinavian attitude towards the fantastic, because I think it has affected also those who are not LARPing themselves. The way live action role playing can deal with it can be a way of using your creativity and using your imagination. It's very similar to improvised theater in some ways. And also, lots of LARP gets you out into the forest. Yes.
Yeah. I will a little more comment on Finnish literature. I mean, my favorite work, apart from Tony Jansson's The Father and the Sea, is Kalevala. I have not heard much about Kalevala here. I think the forest god is Tapio. Yes, so I mean, the land was peopled, or they were full of old shamans. Kalevala describes a shamanic mythology. I think it's fantastic literature. And of course, there's been music, Tapiola's Swan, for instance, written to that work. So I'm a little, I had hoped that some newer literature in Finland was based on this. But now we have to get back to the audience again. Next question, please.
Could I comment on that? Because there is, of course, some newer literature based on Kalevala. There is the retelling by Johanna Sinisalo. And unfortunately, there is quite a lot of, how should I put this delicately, not so good Finnish fantasy based on Kalevala, and I think that was probably the reason I did not feel I wanted to mention it, because it's not very original, most of it, with the exception of Johannes Sinisalo.
Yeah. Can we get the next question, please?
Obviously, you read a lot.
Can you speak up, please?
Obviously, you all read a lot of work in translation. How much would you say the original sort of flavor of the style of the author is lost when the work is translated?
I would say that in Scandinavia, most people read things that are written in English. We actually read in English and not in translation. That's one of the defining things about science fiction fandom, I think, is that people start reading in English as soon as they can. So, but also, lots of fans are translators, so things are obviously translated, even though it's seen as, it's often talked about as better to read things in the original English, but no one reads anything in other languages.
But it depends on how it's done. I mean, Ivana Sinisalo's novel, which is a fantastic novel. It had also the distinction of being the first science fiction novel, I think, to have won the major literary award for fiction in any Scandinavian country. It had the Finlandia Award, which is an annual one for the best thing written in Finnish, not in genre, but in literature. But the Swedish translation of this book is awful. Nobody can understand why this had any awards, and I don't think it sold very many copies either. It's a dull, boring book which made nothing of her place in words, whereas the English translation was enormously much better. I cannot read Finnish, so I like the book because of the English translation, not the Swedish one. And this does happen. I mean, many science fiction and fantasy writers have been badly translated for various reasons. We recently had our second complete translation of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, for instance, because of the first translation sold a couple of million copies, but has very little to do with Tolkien, since the translator of that work is a Tolkien. In the book is quite inspired, I think, by not only the Celtic and northern sagas, but by the Icelandic style. He has very few adjectives, very few adverbs even. It's sparse and descriptive. Whereas the Swedish translator was a flamboyant man who loved throwing in five adjectives if possible. He also changed much of Tolkien's symbolism. When Frodo looks in the mirror of Galadriel, he sees the Eye of Sauron in a flowing in emptiness, because evil in Tolkien is something wanting to devour the world, to give itself substance. In the Swedish translation, however, the translator thought this would be much more dramatic, to have Sauron's eye soaring in hellfires, so it does. And in this sense, the book is something else than what Tolkien wrote. Actually, Tolkien himself put in his, who knew some Swedish, he knew Nordic languages, put in the contract for the Swedish translation of Silmarillion that the contract would be voided if the publisher let the same translator do that.
I'll add on a little. Anybody of you know Jostein Gaarder? He wrote Sophie's World. That was something that people in Montreal knew. And it was translated into English, and was all right. It was translated into U.S. English, and it was a problem. I mean, among other things, I think I remember that the name of the girl, Sophie, which means, of course, wisdom, was translated. Mm-hmm. Why they needed another name for the girl, I don't know. This is part of translation as well. And of course, you know, all of you, that Harry Potter had to be translated to get from UK to US. Right?
Yeah. Philosopher's stone.
Yes. Next question, please. We should perhaps answer a little quicker. Any more questions, or you can come in? Yes?
Have you got any suggestions of internet sites or tweeters that talk about Nordic science fiction?
A site or
Twitter,
yes.
Well, there's Cheryl Morgan, for example, who is very much involved in promoting Nordic science fiction fantasy. I would also add something called Partial Recall, which is a Finnish blog by Tero Yksipetäjä, but where he also talks about, you know, Finnish literature being translated into several languages, in English, of course. I think these two are very good starting points, so Cheryl Morgan and Partial Recall.
I think the blog of Kaya Tidbeck, maybe, because she talks a lot about the problems of writing in Swedish and English, and she also translates her own things and says interesting things about the problems with that. So, yeah.
You can find a lot of the authors on Twitter if you're interested in that. At least Andrea is there, Anno, and in Ikaranka. Several authors, Twitter authors as well, RMT, Beck, and they're always uncontrolling. As for myself, I have writing shadow.net Twitter, which mostly has does retweets of most of the important things. But, yeah.
I have one thing. There is a podcast in Swedish with Swedish and Finnish writers who write all write in Swedish. So if you can't read it, maybe you can access it with Google Translate or something. But in any way, this is a place to find some names of authors. So that's called Fantastisk Pod. Fantastisk Pod. I don't remember, recall the address, but you can find it fairly easily, I would think.
Next question, please. Yeah.
Just to fill in a few gaps, on Iceland we have here, living in London, Snorri Christensen, who has a fantasy series being published, I think, by
Plan. Just a minute, can everybody hear?
No?
Yeah. Maybe you can borrow one.
Sorry.
Thank you, Anna. In Living in London, there is an Icelandic author called Snorri Christensen. He has a series of fantasy novels. I think they're from Valance, I can't remember for certain, but they are Viking novels about young men who go raiding and drink too much and get into trouble.
Yeah,
they're very good. On Denmark, Jan Henrik, did you mention Sky City?
No, and I should also mention Peter Hurd.
Right. Well, now you talk about him. I just mentioned Sky City a couple of years back, I think 2008 or so. A Danish fan group issued an anthology of Danish science fiction stories translated into English, which is well worth looking at. I don't think they've done any books, so it might be a bit hard to come by.
But I think it's still available. I think they still have some copies.
Yes.
I bought one last year on the German Science Fiction Convention in Munich. There were some Danish fans there.
Okay.
It's, I think, the web address is sfcirklen.dk.
sfcirklen.dk.
From Denmark, if I'm supposed to be their representative, and obviously the world's most read modern and Danish science fiction writer is Peter Høeg, famous for Mrs. Miller's Sense of Snow, which was also a major Hollywood movie, and the book was published all over. He's also written later at least two or three more science fiction novels, including his most recent one published last July, or actually a month ago. So he is, in a sense, a science fiction writer, although he doesn't like to be called that in Denmark, since it's not quite what you're supposed to be if you're very smart and very cultured.
About Denmark, did you mention Lene Kalberg? She writes for the children, mostly fantasy, and she also translates herself into English.
Did you want to talk about Archipelago?
Sorry?
Archipelago?
No, I don't, but Stephen White. I would like to find out one thing about Iceland as well. I don't think you have mentioned any Icelandic writers. The other one is Sigurd Jonsson. I'm sorry, our Icelandic friends, I don't know how to say it, but he's more commonly known as Sjören.
Yes.
Very
good.
And he's
those
kind of
as
well.
Yes. Shall we try another question? Yes?
Here you are, all in the same panel. But, and you've all mentioned books published in your languages, and Norwegian, Swedish, and Danish at least are beyond a few quibbles, mutually intelligible. But is there any, in any sense, would you say that the fantasy and science fiction traditions of one country have influenced or are influencing similar literature in the other Nordic countries? Or is it sort of a five...
the others will probably quibble. I don't think so, no. Because Swedes will not generally read Norwegian or Danish.
We're too lazy.
That's the only
explanation. Some people are too lazy.
A number of years ago, when I was one of those starting the first science fiction bookstore in Stockholm, which was the late 70s. This was owned by the Scandinavian Science Fiction Society, a very grand name for basically a Stockholm SF club. Although, since the club was selling books by mail order to people outside the country, we had about 800 members, and so we sent them catalogs. At that time, in 78, I guess, we chose to import, I believe, 5 copies each of 4 or 5 recent Norwegian science fiction novels, which I thought were the best ones published in Scandinavia at the time. These were by Norwegian authors Eivind Myhre and Jon Bing and Per Aage Bringsværd, the major Norwegian science fiction writers of the 70s and a bit later maybe. I think in 2 years we sold 3 of the 25 books we imported from Norway. And this was after telling people that these were better than anything else in the catalogs we sent out to them, but they were in Norse. And Swedes will not need Norse, they will find this unreadable. Danish is even worse.
Which is
Norwegians
really good.
You can
Danish
sometimes
easy
understand.
To read.
To Swedes, Norwegians speak quite clearly, so you can almost make out them when they talk. The Danes sound, as the Swedish saying is, that they sound as if they had a hot potato in their mouth when speaking, and so Swedes cannot make out what Danes are saying at all. Norwegians are much better. Danes also, major bookstores in Copenhagen or Norway will have recent Swedish novels in house, if not in the windows. In Stockholm, I think it would be hard put to find many, many books in Norwegian or Danish in any bookstore.
You had a comment?
Yes. We have already mentioned the connection with nature, and that's kind of a thing that I feel that would be in common at least to Finland, Sweden, and perhaps Norway as well. I don't know the Danish books so well. And perhaps also trolls. That's kind of like common to all of the Nordic countries.
And yeah. I would probably imagine that to some extent light or lack of it during winter is something we all share, and I think that sort of atmospheric stuff which may carry over very well. I've read Karin Tippex's short stories. I read them in English, though I should have read them in Swedish, but I felt they resonated very strongly with me as a Finn, even though she very clearly writes about Sweden and Swedish things, so there must be something there.
I think the question was on influences by the literature of one country to another. And as we heard, Norwegians tend to read both Swedish and Danish literature. We don't read much Finnish in the original language. I have not, by reading this during the summer, so many books. There are very few influences from Swedish and Danish. The only influences I find are from, I think, UK.
Yeah.
It's like, Peter Hamilton, for instance, is directly referenced in one of the books.
What about American?
Not so much, but it is because, for instance, Neil Gaiman is so big. I mean, he's one of my favorites, and I think that one of the best Nordic science fiction books or fantasy books is American Gods. But especially Gaiman and Hamilton and partly Pratchett and so forth, they are so important that I think the US ones are a little further back. But that's just my impression, but I've read it all during the summer, so I have a picture of it.
As I already mentioned when I studied this, some of our younger generation authors have been writing urban fantasy that has werewolves and stuff like that. But I think that Elena Rovianen's werewolf books that are set in the previous Nordic setting. It kind of like makes it a very interesting, even though there are these werewolves that are similar to any Anglo-Saxon religious werewolves. But the other one, Jenny Kamento was mentioned as well, her werewolves are more in the Finnish werewolves and in spirit all of Estonian
And I will mention another connection. One of the Norwegian authors that I have here, Tom Egeland, wrote almost the Da Vinci Code 2 years before the Da Vinci Code was out. But he says that Dan Brown has not lifted anything from his work. But, I mean, it could be that way as well. Any more questions?
Cindy, tell us about Archipelago.
I don't know what that has to do with. Okay, if anyone of you are interested in Nordic science fiction and fantasy convention, next summer we are going to have this Archipelago, which is going to be in Mariehamn, all of the islands between Finland and Sweden. And then we have guests of honors are Johanna Sinisol from Finland and Guy Tibet from Sweden. And there is going to be a lot of this, but more of these teams. So if you're interested, come to Helsinki booth. We also have a presentation for our program there.
And the language will be in English.
Yes, that was to say that. Yes.
Any more questions?
Final advertisement, if anybody's interested in the Swedish stuff, I also have a list of titles, mainly of everything I could find that has been translated into English. It's not much.
If you want to find out how some of the Finnish names are spelled, just come and talk to either Sini or me afterwards, because they can be sometimes a little bit tricky.
Agreed.
If you're not bored yet, I have a question for you, Swedish ones and Georgians. I think that since we have these two authors who have been widely marketed, Hanna Rannimi and Emmy Itaranta, who both wrote the books in English, and there has been a lot of coverage about their success in the world in the Finnish magazines, I think that it made them kind of more popular in Finland and in Finnish also than they would have been without the international translations. Have you noticed the same pattern in Norway or Sweden?
I have not noticed exactly that, but I have noticed that some people talk about it like, you know, things that are written in English, they are the real things from the big world, and things that are written in Swedish, it's just something small and not so important. It's just a general feeling I have. So, I don't know if you have noticed something similar.
In Sweden, I would say it's getting translated into English was the ultimate aim of every author wanting success, commercial success. Of course.
But it's getting more popular in Sweden if you're translating English?
I think you are getting a bigger boost from your publisher. They'll put more money into backing you, so probably you will. Nowadays, of course, what is translated from Sweden into English is crime fiction. Since Stieg Larsson's amazing success, incidentally, the translations of his novels into English are also quite bad. He's a much better writer than that. He's not a great stylist, but he's much better than he is in English. And since then, so the success in the English language world of various crime writers is used to sell them to Swedes also. Yes.
There is a sign saying 5 minutes. Yeah. I'll just add a little to that. You may know the Norwegian author Knausgård. I mean, he's becoming very popular in the United States now. I don't know why, because his books are enormous. And he's talking about himself. But that's possibly the way to go. But it has not really affected his standing in Norway. I don't think so, because it was so strong anyway. Everybody had to read the books. But that can happen as well. I mean, there is no impact. And I must inform you that, at least in Norway, the first language that the authors are translated to is normally German. So English is sort of an afterthought. And for your information, I think about 97% of the literature in UK and US is homemade, meaning that I think an assembly like this, if you can spread the word, it is important, because then people can get a little bit out of the outside world.
Technically, it's 97% is not translated, so that about 97% includes people like Hanu and Emmy, whoever, who write in English.
May I repeat that if someone didn't hear? Sheriff says that 97% is not translated, so the 97% includes people who come from other countries but write originally in English.
Right. Are we finished?
Final and last more questions afterwards.
Yes. And please come up here.
Sorry. Just based on your point, you were saying that the markets in the UK and the US, 97% of the works are originally written in English. What about Norway, for example? Is most of the literatures being sold out written in Norwegian? Or
I think most of the literature, but there is a very... In most bookstores, there is a section for English books. And in the large bookstores, there is also a section for German and French.
And much more than 3% of what's sold is translated now. Yes.
Adult fiction in Sweden nowadays, slightly under half is translated. Used to be the other way around.
I don't know the percentages of the English books, but I think that the science fiction and fantasy section at least has a good English presentation. There are a lot of translations as well, but as we have so many good authors, there are also a lot of English books, and there is a question.
Isn't there a collection called It Came from the North?
Yes, there is. It's a very good collection by the Cheeky Frog publisher, if memory serves, about new up-and-coming, not necessarily previously translated Finnish authors. It's very easily and affordably also available as an e-book. So I really recommend checking it out. Thank you for mentioning it. It should have been on our list, of course, already. It Came from the North was the name of the anthology. Lots of really interesting Finnish, new Finnish stuff. Also, finnishweird.net.
I think this is after the 5 minutes that they were supposed to there. So I will thank you very much for participating. You have been a very good audience. The panelists are very knowledgeable, of course. So I hope you go and visit the Finnish stand, and that you come up here and try get lists from Holmberg and myself on Norwegian and Swedish literature. Thank you.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
skiffyandfanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@skiffyandfanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
skiffyandfanty.com.
Go to Google Plus.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
I pass in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.